Blog Talk Radio.
Doing great.
Doing quite well. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good.
Well, we had had some fun last week, huh? Seems to be.
Oh yeah, man! Last week was a pretty busy weekend, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I mean, somebody hasn't told Solomon that he lost the fight because he still thinks he did. Didn't he think still? Thinks
oh,
he should have
oh,
got
that
decision.
Was yeah, that was. That was Friday last night on Showbox. Dominic Wade outplanted Sam Solomon by split decision. Most observers really felt Solomon won, not only the observers but the punch staff. Solomon outworked and outlanded Dominic Wade. Wade landed the more eye-catching punches. But, it was a significant step up for Dominic Wade, the 25-year-old prospect. But, again, a lot of people thought Solomon done enough to win. Regardless, though, Wade will be a better fighter from having that experience with Sam Solomon, those 10 rounds he shared in the ring with him.
Mm-hmm. See?
Yeah, Sam Solomon is a rugged sort of fighter. He's pretty good timing. Dominic Wynn, he's got some maturing to do. Not in the way of anything, but just as far as fight IQ, he just needs to mature a little bit and, you know, He'll be fine. A boxer knows when they win or lose. So it's all about how he takes it.
Ty, do you want to bring the our fans up to speed on last week's fights, and I'll go off here and get Dr. Chris on.
Certainly. Well, I mean, I guess let's start with the most recent fight, which Zito was Rancis Bartholomew against Antonio DeMarco, in which, I mean, Bartholomew, you know, completely shut out DeMarco. DeMarco actually ended up retiring, which to me came as no surprise that since he was considering retiring off the Jesse Vargas fight. So that came as no surprise to me.
Yeah. To be honest, I thought that the fight would go a lot like it went. Bartholomew was just too sharp for DeMarco. DeMarco, he looked good bodily, but he just couldn't really get any punches off. Bartholomew, he would hit, he would change stances for one thing, and then he wouldn't really from either stand, he wouldn't really jab hard. His jab was always pecking pawing, but you always had to look for the backhand with him. And he always seemed to land the backhand and get out, dodge. And he just was a step too fast for DeMarco. But one thing you and I were talking about is the way Bartholomew holds his head up. He looks like he tried to tuck his chin behind his shoulder with his head straight up. And that mathematically doesn't work. I mean, you're going to either tuck your chin or put your head up. You can't do both. If you do both, that means your head's just off.
He puts himself in a position to where he can get clipped. And obviously any fighter can get clipped, but there are certain fundamental things that he does that kind of, really amplifies that probability. And, you know, the thing about DeMarco's only 29 years old. But it's no surprise, again, for him to call it quits because he's in, you know, in fighter's terms, he's an old 29. You know, he's taken a lot of punishment over the course of his career.
Yeah. DeMarco, one thing is, when you beat DeMarco, when fighters beat DeMarco, first of all, he doesn't really lose to anybody who's either of that class or bigger than him. He's not going to lose. He's a top quality guy. But when he loses, he's either going to get beat up or he's going to get just outclassed, and punishment comes along with him being outclassed. Because he's a tough guy, he's going to keep trying. And, you know, we've seen similar to guys like Fernando Vargas, young in their careers. When first of all, they're top quality guys, and to beat these guys, you have to lay punishment on them. You have to make them either, you know, hit and avoid them and really hit them to get their respect. And these guys will keep coming. So that's what kind of I worry about when the fighter turns old young.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Because what tends to happen.
Okay. I'll let go ahead.
What tends to happen is a fighter who turns old young, they're going to keep fighting. They're going to keep fighting if they're old, and they're not going to get any better. They're not going to get any more creative. So that then they're just they're hanging on, and that's damaging.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, we're joined by a young fighter who's always been a good friend of our families and a good friend of the program here, Mr. Joey Tiberi. Joey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Joey, the most honest fighter alive. There it is.
Doing good. Congratulations on graduating.
Yeah. Tell us about that, Joe.
Well, now it's done. Now the fun part is to find a job. So that's kind of where we're at now. And who knows where it's going to go. So, I mean, it's kind of just all happened. So, it's, you know, it's the beginning stages of everything.
Mm-hmm. What'd you get your degree in?
Criminal justice.
Oh, good. Good. You shouldn't have any problem with NCCO. They've got a bunch of guys getting ready to retire.
Yeah, I don't know what I want to do with it, though. I'm not sure which if I even want to go that route. Honestly, I've been really trying to get into Amtrak. So that's been, like, my main focus, really. But, I'm just, you know, playing with it here and there. So
yeah, one of the captain up there, Larry Owens, used to work for me in Chester PD.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, maybe I can give him a call sometime this week and see if I can get you a hold of him.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Sure, no problem. Joe, tell us about what's going on since the last time we talked to you.
Not a whole lot of nothing, really. I haven't had a fight since last November. Mm-hmm. That's really about it. I mean, I was supposed to have something in April and May, and they only offered me another four-round fight, and I told them I didn't want a four-round fight. I'm not wasting my time with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had 15 pro fights, and been pro for 5 years, and I'm tired of selling all these tickets for four-round fights.
Mm-hmm.
I've only had 2 six-rounders. I mean, it actually hasn't been doing anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
oh, you stayed in.
That's
you stayed in shape, right, for the first call. Go ahead. Go ahead.
How many rounds would you like to fight?
I mean, I've only had 2 sixes. I mean, I want to. You know, I've done enough fours. It's just I haven't been active enough to where. I haven't been busy enough to where I actually get in any routine type of thing. I have a fight, and then 3 or 4 months, 5 months later, I have a layoff. And then I start right back over again. So it's like every time I start getting in, like, the rhythm of everything, I get rusty again. And it's been like that my whole career. So it's like I feel like up to this point I've done nothing. I really haven't accomplished anything that I would want to. And some of the fighters that I would like to fight, I'm just not ready, because them having 3 fights a year is busier than I've been. So it's like I always have to start back over. And it got to the point where I'm 29 now. You know, I finally focused on school. Once I realized I wasn't getting nothing, I just focused on school, and I just want to give it a run. So I mean, I just want to, you know what I mean? I just want somebody that's going to be able to help me out, and you know what I mean? What's the worst that happens is I lose a fight. I've already done that, so it's not going to, you know what I mean? At this point, I want to start calling some people out, but I can't do that having a 7 to 8 month layoff. So it's like, you know, that's really where it's been at. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, of the 2 six-rounders you had, Terrell Samuels or Charles Jones, which do you think was the toughest fight for you?
Oh, well, Samuel beat me, which I want the rematch on that. So, by far, Samuel. I mean, he's been the best. He's been the toughest guy I've fought, and the most experienced. So, I mean, I definitely owe him one. So, I mean, that's definitely his name's definitely the top of my list right now. But I can't just. I mean, he's fought a lot of good people. He has a good resume. So, I mean, I can't just come back in there off a layoff like this and just expect what I want to happen. I need to knock this rust off and then go right for him. But that's definitely what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joey, as frustrating as this can be, are you still staying with your conditioning? And what kind of shape are you in, I'm trying to say?
to be honest, it's like at the point it got me so frustrated. I just needed a break from it. On top of them already giving me a break without me wanting it, it came to the point where I work two jobs during the week. I don't do nothing. I would hit the gym here and there. I would hit like retro. I'd go run. I would stay in decent shape, but then on the weekends I would go out. I'd have a couple drinks on the weekend. So it became a point where I would work out during the week, and on the weekends I would just go out. So it's you know, I mean, the older I get, the more frustrating it is, because every other local fighter around my area has already had 3+ fights this year. I'm the only one that hasn't, and I get some more tickets than almost any one of them. So it's like, I don't know why promoters don't see that. If they're in it, I mean, everybody knows it's a dirty business, so if you're going to look at the business aspect of it, why wouldn't you put somebody on your card that's going to sell tickets?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't, it doesn't make no sense to me. So, I mean, it's at the point where I don't even know where it's at, honestly. It's just, you know,
but
I don't know.
I'd seen you fought up at the deck, and you fought. Did you fight at the new 2300 yet?
No, I actually didn't even fight. I didn't even fight at the deck. That all fell through.
Oh, okay.
And then the only place in Philly I fought was the Harris Casino. And
okay.
That's been years.
In Chester?
Yeah, that was the last.
That was for Joey I?
Yeah, him and David Feldman.
Right. Now, is David seems to be up and down. He seems to be disappearing quite a bit. Is that the case up there? He just doesn't take care of people?
I'm not even sure. I know we had a problem more or less with the commission, the Philly commission with Greg Serban. Then we really never – there's always some type of problem with them. So we kind of just – that's why I don't really fight in Philly or anywhere where they're at, because there's always problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we stay with the Virginia commission, and wherever they would hold fights locally, that's who our commission would be. But, I mean, there's nothing going on anywhere. We have no venues in Delaware now. They lost Dover Downs. The Chase Center's too much. So I don't even know what.
Hey Joey, I'm sorry. You said they lost Dover Downs?
Well, yeah, that's what I heard. I've heard 100 different excuses on why, but I don't know if the casino was either making too much money or they weren't making enough.
Wow.
So, and they get a grant, I guess, every month to run the casino. So they either could have kept boxing and, I guess, gambled with them making the money they needed, or they could have the guaranteed money every month. But like I said, I don't know what's true and what's not.
What's going on? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. The last fight I fought was Tyrell Samuel with that, and I think that was the last time they had anything there.
Hmm.
So. Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah,
I think
we
were at that fight, weren't we, Z? I think we were at that fight. I believe.
Yeah.
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 Yes, we were.
Yeah. That's a shame. Well,
it's a good venue. I like the venue, but it's just I don't know. I mean, the thing is, Champs always put a lot of guys on out of state, and a lot of guys they have signed that aren't local guys. So when you headline and the main event and the co-main event, and you have guys out of state that don't sell tickets, I mean, it never worked out for them.
Sure.
You know, so it's like, you put a couple of local guys on there, and how many of them really actually sell tickets? You know, it's just, they probably end up always losing money. So I don't know. I don't know, like, the ins and outs with it all, because I kind of just keep to myself.
Well, if you had your choice for the next fight, who would it be?
I don't know how to word this without it coming out wrong. I wouldn't want to overmatch myself.
Right.
But I don't want to undermatch myself either. I just wouldn't want to go in there with somebody that's been remotely active to where I haven't had anything. So I really couldn't give you a name off the top of my head. I just know I would like at least two fights, and then I would want something. I would want Samuel again. I'm more than a six, or maybe like an eight or something. Like, I would want to make that like a fight worth him taking the rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Joey, would you consider, you know, a four rounder, you know, per se right now, just to knock a little of the rust off, if it could put you right into a six or eight rounder after that?
It would probably be the smarter thing to do, but I feel like if I actually was able to train for at least maybe 8 to 10 weeks, and actually was able to, like, do it how I wanted it. And the thing is, like, with this layoff, like I said, I didn't want it, but I had to accept it. It actually made me a little more hungry than I've really ever been. I never really had this type of hunger. Like, I've been really, really into it. And I leave I leave next week to go to California to see a buddy out there for a week. So it'll be good for me to clear my head and get away. But I know once I get back, like, I have all intentions on just getting right back in shape and, you know, putting the pieces together to get a fight and eventually get that rematch with him. So I'm not sure.
Do you think part of that hunger is the fact that you've accomplished a degree? Now, I mean, you've gotten that out the way. That's a huge accomplishment. And now it's like, you know what? Now I can focus on this while I have this brief window from 29 to 30, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps having school knocked out because that's just one less thing I got to worry about. Now all it is wake up and go to work every day, work both jobs and still work out. So, I mean, it definitely makes life a little easier. So, I mean, and it gives me more space to, like, travel for sparring and set things up. It definitely helps my schedule. So, I'll say it plays a role. It all plays a role because you always got to – the way my schedule is, I always overpack my schedule, so I'm so busy to where, you know, it's just everything just has its, like, own time for everything. So, I mean, I think it definitely helped, though. I mean, I don't know if there's one reason why I have the hunger, but the hunger's there. I mean, I definitely know it's there, and I just can't wait to get back and get in the ring. I mean, it's been my time for the longest time. I've never had no opportunity. I've never had nothing. I never had anybody really actually backing me to give me the fights that I feel I deserve. I mean, I sold out, like, every local fight. I mean, I'm selling out for a four-round fight. I'm selling out more than the main event is. And it's just like, you know, if I'm selling out four-round fights, give me some love to give me a co-main event and watch what I do then. I mean, I just, you know, I'm just ready to do it. I mean, I'm 29, like I said, and I just want to go out and, you know, make my own name. I really haven't got to make a name for myself, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what we can do about talking to some of the people that we work with off air. And you know, we've got your number, and we'll ask them to give you a call.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple guys right up there in Pennsylvania that we work with a lot. I know that Russell Peltz is listening now, so Russell, I'll probably be calling you later on this week. And then there's some people down here that have connections around the country, so we'll see what we can find out and get back to you.
Well, Joey, if you don't mind me asking, Joey, what's going on with Champs? Are they stagnant at the moment, or?
I'm honestly not even too sure. I mean, I haven't really heard nothing. I mean, the last I heard, Ray left them. I don't know if Frankie's still with him. I see Frankie's still getting fights, so I'm not sure.
No, Frankie's on now.
Yeah, Frankie's not with Champs anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't even know who they have. I mean, I know they had Alex Guerrero. I'm not sure what his move. I haven't heard nothing about him. I honestly don't know anything. I just you guys probably know more than I do.
Yeah.
But I mean, I haven't heard nothing because I thought they were supposed to. I asked my uncle if they were having anything local, and he said no. So I guess I don't know.
So who's promoting you right now, then? Or are you kind of?
I mean, I'm self-managed. My uncle Nick pretty much helps me get fights. I mean, he's pretty much helping me my whole career. He's got me on all the cards. So I mean, he's pretty much out of anybody. He's the one that's, you know, gets me my fights. So I mean, and I told him once I got back from California that we could see what we can do. And you know, he's on board with it. So I mean, that's really the only person I really deal with on getting fights. I mean, I've been getting calls from random people and messages on Facebook to be opponents, but I mean, it's almost, you know, what's the worst that could happen is I lose. I mean, if I go out there and fight a tough fight, then I might get called back. I mean, at this point, I just want to do something, and I really just, you know, that's just where it's at. So you got to take one step at a time with that. I need to get in shape before I start talking about taking all these fights and stuff. So.
And you can't do that till you get back from California, obviously.
Right, yeah. So, I figure I go out there and enjoy myself, get away from everything, just come back, you know, and then get back on the horse, you know.
Yeah. Well, Joey, I just was on the other line with one of your biggest supporters, Dr. Chris Panarella.
Okay.
Of course, he's driving in a blinding rain. He said to tell you, you know, he doesn't want to talk on the phone right now. He'll be home in about 10 minutes, and I can call him. But he wanted me to relay that he's got a lot of faith in you. He knows you can do a good job, and he's looking forward to seeing your name in lights again.
Yeah, so am I. So I'm saying, you got to get on here next time.
Yeah,
put him on here next time.
Yeah. He'll start with stories about Mario and Davey and everybody else.
Yeah, he goes too far back for me, though.
Oh, yeah. For us, too. But he's a great guy. He's a hell of a boxing historian and technician. He's an older version of Z here, the technician of the fights. So he can sit there and watch him and break it right down for you.
Mm-hmm.
But well, Joey, I appreciate you coming on with us tonight. We will make some phone calls for you and see if I can't get something back to you on either end, either Larry's end or Russell's end. And I do hope you get something in the very near future.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anything will help.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Joey. We appreciate your time.
No problem. See you guys.
Thank you, John. Bye.
All right. We have I'm going to get go off and get our next caller, which is the new.
Oh,
Reynolds.
The new.
Yes, sir. Be right back. You guys get there's a fight that just came on that I saw was just added to the Demetrenko or to the Chagayev fight. Demetrenko is going to fight on an undercard. Did you realize that?
No, I did not know that. I did not know
yeah.
that.
It was just added this morning as I saw it, as I was pulling the stuff off the show. But and then Roy Jones Jr. is going to fight in Liverpool on September 12th.
Yeah, I
do
know that. Yep, I did read that today.
Maybe you can talk about that while I get Chris and the new one.
Well, you know what, Zito, actually, since he's bringing the new Ray Robinson on, who is a welterweight, let's talk about something that transpired in the welterweight division last week, albeit at a catchweight of 144, but I'm talking about Sean Porter versus Adrian Broner. What do you think about that fight? First of all, I know it played out pretty much tooth and nail how you expected it to play out. Am I right, Z?
For the most part, there were moments that well, a specific moment for Sean Porter I didn't think would happen, but...
Oh, me too, yeah.
But it pretty much went the way I thought. Broner is a talented boxer. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
He's talented offensively. Defensively, he's tough. He's tough.
Yeah.
Sean Porter is tough. He's physically strong and pretty quick,
yeah.
and he's focused. He's a workhorse.
He's very durable as well.
Exactly, he's tough. He's durable, and I mean the guy he rarely ever takes breaks.
Yeah.
In this fight with Broner.
The lovely and vivacious Dr. Chris has joined us.
Yeah, love, Jesus God, why the hell will I get lovely? Hey, guys, it's pouring down rain up here.
Oh,
damn,
yeah.
I know. We're up here with you, so.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we're in
Delaware, so.
How about that storm the other night?
Oh, that was
something
like
else,
man. Yeah, it took some trees and power
lines
down around here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I lost five trees. I was without power. You know, miserable. So, but anyway, I've been cutting trees. I thought I'd feel better, get some exercise. It worked for 2 days, and then it wore me out. How you guys been?
Not bad. How you been, my friend?
I'm catching up. I
what,
think I'm gaining
think of,
on something, but I don't know what it is. You know?
What'd you think of Broner?
I went to the doctor.
Porter's...
I got a clean bill of health. my blood study reads great, but I don't feel like the blood study. You know what I mean?
Oh.
It feels good as the blood study should. But anyway, listen, I got a fighter that I'm going to tell. His name is Lemieux. Did you
David
guys see
Lemieux.
Him?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
is tough as nails.
Yeah.
He can actually challenge Triple G, Glover. Whatever his name is, Golovkin. How do you say?
No,
how do you say?
No, no,
you,
no.
You don't think he can
yeah.
challenge him?
Lemieux is a little heavier, isn't he?
No. Actually, Golovkin's about. I mean, they're both middleweights, but Golovkin's about a half inch taller, about an inch taller, about a half inch reach advantage. But Lemieux, no. I mean, he has some things that can threaten Golovkin. But I don't think he can really challenge him. I don't think he's not a good enough boxer.
The problem for Lemieux would be geography, because yeah. Lemieux does his damage on the inside, and I don't think you want to be inside with Golovkin. I think Golovkin's yeah. tougher.
Oh, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a tough fight, but
oh, yeah.
that poor
fight.
Guy he fought.
Oh boy!
That poor guy he fought took an awful beating, and he kept coming back.
Yeah,
it was amazing
yeah.
that the durability yeah. of that guy.
Yeah.
He had an iron chin. No, I think that this guy can give him, who the hell out there can give him a tough fight? I mean, I don't see anybody better than this guy.
I think our next caller, couldn't you call her? Ray, can you do that?
What's that?
No, yeah, I
think taller. He's next, got probably
no,
got 2 inches on him.
No, I was talking about our next caller is Ray Robinson. The new.
Oh, okay.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good.
How's it going?
The new is
how's
not moving
right?
up to middleweight, though. The new is trying to take care of business in the welterweight division. Am
mm-hmm.
I correct, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. The welterweight division, I'm trying to get all them guys. I'm ring number
mm-hmm.
6 in the WBO right now, so I want everybody at number 5 and up.
Mm-hmm. If
you're number 6 in the WBO, isn't tonight's fight between Vargas and Bradley for
and
the
Bradley.
Interim WBO title, right? That's for the interim
yep.
WBO title, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know it's for the WBO title. Floyd doesn't pay the sanctioning fees for the interim title, I believe. And if Floyd doesn't
yes.
pay the sanctioning fees, it'll become the full title. So you're right in line
yep.
for that then.
Absolutely. You know, this is something I've been, you know, wanting forever, you know. My hard work is, you know, starting to pay off, and now I just basically need that phone call to tell me to get ready. You know, I'm already ready, but to, you know, to get in my, you know, get me there mentally and everything like that, it's boxing shape and then it's fight shape. And once I get in fight shape, then it's war time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I would love to challenge either of them guys, anyone in the top 5. I have no picks. I told you guys I'm like one of them throwback fighters. I've been saying that from my very beginning of my career. Y'all seen my resume of who I fought, so I don't duck no one. So I would love to fight, you know, one of these A-class or B-class fighters so I could just let the world know, you know, I'm here and I'm here to stay.
You know what,
Ray?
We were just talking about the Sean Porter Adrian Broner fight. Obviously, Sean Porter is someone you were in your in the ring with earlier in your career. Tell us what Adrian Broner should have done, or what you would do if you were to fight Sean Porter again. Obviously, he's more of a force of nature than you know known for his technical acumen. So how do you deal with somebody who tries to maul you like that?
You know, just smart boxing and just, you know, hit, knock your head, box, out box. I just feel like Broner really, he didn't throw as much. You know, he was posing, worried about defense. And you got to worry about defense, but off your defense, you got to come back with offense. And I think every time Porter fights, you know, everyone knows that I gave Porter Fight his best fight. A lot of people thought I won, and a lot of people thought the worst thing I should have got was a draw. You know, I remember
yeah.
when Tarver Anthony, I remember when Tarver came in my locker room and told me he thought I won. And he was a commentator at that time with the Showtime Showbox. But I don't know, like I learned a lot from that fight, but I thought Porter did what he's supposed to do. Porter fights like Porter. He he tried to be that bully, but he's gonna fight his fight and Adrian Broner didn't fight his. Adrian Broner posed just a tad bit too much, I thought.
Yep.
And, you know, when Broner did throw, you know, he landed, but you can't win fights off one punches. You just can't, especially not against Porter, because Porter's just not going to respect you.
Yeah.
Well, and Broner, he doesn't fight a whole fight. And I think his problem, as talented as Broner is, his problem is he's too wrapped up in the other thing. He's either trying to land the flashy punch or not be embarrassed. I mean, however it goes. Sean Porter was launching jabs into his face. And it's like Broner tried to play it off instead of trying to get back and trying to get a little busier. So.
And I agree with you. And, I don't know. I get it. Broner, you know, he's very flashy, and I understand that. And, you know, you got to remember, Floyd was the same way before he got the job done, you know?
Yes, sir.
At the end of the day, man, you can be pretty and all that, but at the end of the day, you're still in a fight. You got to throw punches. You got to, you know, act like you want to win.
Win the rounds.
Absolutely.
So, Ray, who's your promotional team in your management outfit now?
I'm a free agent right now.
Okay.
All right. So you had a decent meeting when you had the had to go before the commission a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm still you know, waiting on a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to get too much into it, but it's just me waiting on things, you know. At the end of the day, I just got one career.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure no one wants, you know, my career to do as well as I do.
Uh-huh. And I figured that's, I had an assumption that that's the route you were looking to go. And and you seem to be, you know, especially with everything you're doing, a savvy guy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was just getting out of my car and running it.
Yeah, we're all up here dealing with it except you, Butch.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in the sunshine. Still, about this time of day, it's still 92 degrees, so and sunny.
Well, I don't want the night. I personally don't want the 92 either. I like the rain personally. So I'm cool.
Ray, what do you have lined up next?
Right now, nothing right this second. But you know, I feel like. You guys know me for a while now, so I stay in shape and I stay ready.
Yeah.
So once that phone call rings, I definitely be ready 100%.
Well, you got three fights.
Ray, who are you leaning?
Right? You got. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, please, Dr. Chris. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, who are you leaning to as your new manager?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure yet. I gotta. You know, I'm 29. I feel like I'm at my best right now. But I definitely don't want to rush nothing because, you know, 3 years can be my career, you know. So
yeah.
I got to make sure I make the right decision. And I got to make sure it works well for me and him, the manager, you know, if I do pick one. So I do have a daughter.
Yeah.
So I got to make sure, you know, things is good for my part, too. I can't just rush in there. And I think I did that in the past. I rushed into management deals, and now I'm a tad bit smarter and older, so I ask questions, and I take my time, you know.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, it's an important decision, but I just was wondering if you had anybody in mind that you think could further your career better than somebody else. Who do you think's out there?
I honestly haven't really talked to anyone. And I'm sure once I get the phone calls and, I will have to look at everybody's deal and see who can get me to my dream the fastest. And whoever can do that, then I definitely go with them. Whoever it is, this is Top Rank, Rock Nation, Golden, whoever, you know. So it's all depends on who comes.
Well, there was
a
rumor that you had been talking with Rock Nation. I didn't know whether that was true or not.
Well, I did fight on their card, co-main event, and I'm talking to a bunch of different people, and Rock Nation was one of the people that I was talking to.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they're great guys over there.
Okay. Hey, you had a 20-2 record. Of all those fights, which would you say was the toughest guy you fought?
I don't know if y'all remember that Russian guy I fought when I first fought for the NABO title.
Yes, sir.
He was a very, very tough guy. He definitely made me earn every set that I fought for. So I really loved that fight. That fight made me feel like I went to a different level.
I remember seeing that fight on TV, and
yes,
he made you work. You did
yes,
good
sir.
Work. You did good work, but he made you do good
yeah,
work.
Yeah. He was one of those guys who was going to make you beat him up. Like he was.
He was undefeated.
He
didn't want that
L
to go.
Nope. Not at all.
Yeah, he was motivated.
It's funny. That was one of your most impressive wins, I think, too.
I think so, too. Honestly, I tell people over and over again, I really do feel like that was he made me go to a different level. He made me a better fighter, 100%. I got to admit that. And you need fights like that. I'm from Philly. I don't shy from fights like that. You know, I don't shy from a challenge. I got into this boxing game to fight. You know, it's just like a basketball player. If he gets signed up to the NBA, he don't want to sit on the bench. He want to play ball. He's like,
yeah.
Hey, I got boxing. I want to fight. And I fight whoever, you know?
You know what? And the thing is, too, the fact of the matter is styles make fights. And for a guy who is, you know, more so known for their boxing acumen like you, there's always one of those truth machines, a Joe Frazier, Antonio Margarito, that guy who's just going to keep coming and force you for, you know, for every space and every little bit of inch he gives you in the ring, because he's going to stand in your face and make you work the whole fight. And those guys, they're truth tellers. Isn't that what they used to say about Joe Frazier, is a truth machine? And when you beat that guy, you know you're on a different level now.
I agree. And even when I seen when Broner lost to Porter, that, you know, I got a bunch of phone calls. And that kind of shows me that I belong up there with these guys because, you know, a lot of people thought I beat Porter. And, you know, even his dad gave me respect. I don't got nothing bad to say about Porter or his dad. But they did give me respect, and they thought it was a really tough fight. And I feel as though I can definitely hang out, you know, hang with them guys on that level. So, yeah, you know, that type of fight, if you're not too sure if, you know, you're ready or not, you need that type of fight. When I fought that Russian, that 25-0, let me know, like, I'm 100% ready for the next level.
Speaking of that level, two guys who you probably potentially be fighting, between Tim Bradley and Jesse Vargas. How do you see that fight going tonight?
I think Tim Bradley, like I told y'all guys before, I was up there in Marquette, Michigan with Tim Bradley for a long time, for a couple of years. But I just see Tim Bradley's going to bully Vargas. You know, Vargas coming, I believe he was at 140 at one time too, right?
Yeah, he started his career at 147,
and
he's just now moving up.
Yeah, and I think Bradley's looking at 152. So, you know, I think he's going to bully him. I really do. I think he's going to – he's got to make it a dirty fight. I think it's going to fight Tim Bradley versus Devin Alexander. Yeah, he made him very uncomfortable. He bullied him. He didn't give him no respect. And I just don't feel like Vargas has the tools, such as moving on your legs and dancing and, you know, a very slick fighter, and that's the type of guy that got to beat Tim Bradley, man. Tim Bradley, you're going to basically have to, you know, he'll come back from the dead to try to fight.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So I picked Tim Bradley for the win. And maybe a late-night stoppage.
You don't think that the height advantage for Vargas would work for him?
Huh?
You don't think the height advantage that Vargas has would work for him?
I just think Tim Bradley's going to take that away from him. He's going to close that distance really fast. You know, also Tim Bradley don't seem like a strong fighter. His body looks strong, but he don't have that type of, you know, punch behind it, I don't think. But his him overwhelming you, being so aggressive, you know, standing in your face,
you know, just making it an ugly fight. Sometimes he throw headbutts in there. I don't know if Vargas can, you know, stick his feet in the mud and, you know, and go for broke. You know, and it takes us, you know, not very, it's not that many fighters that have that, you know, that they can actually stick their feet in the mud and go for broke and
right.
win everything on the line. And that's the same thing. It goes right back to me fighting that Russian. You know, I know that I had to stick my feet in the mud, and I knew that if I wanted that win, I was going to have to stand my ground and go to war, you know? It takes a special type of person to, you know, just like basketball, to add to the rock in the last quarter and take over.
Right. You know, it's funny you said about Bradley's punch, because Bradley had fought Edner Cherry. And that's one of the things that Edner has always said, that he didn't think he hit very hard.
Yeah, I sparred Tim Bradley before, and that's when I was like 16, and he was in a different weight class than me. But I thought he was always fast. Honestly, I do have to admit that I thought he was always fast. I never thought he was like some super, you know, rock solid puncher, you know. But his body, you know, worked up that looked like he. You know, one
strong
punch should knock you out, but that just shows you that looks don't matter.
It's
funny because I think Timmy's a lot like the guy we were just talking about, another guy who's been in the ring, which is Sean Porter. You know, I think Timmy obviously is cleaner, has more tools, but Timmy's another guy who, like Sean Porter, will overwhelm you and muck the fight up and make it ugly. And what they'll do is they'll smother their own punches to smother your punches. You know what I mean? So the fight turns ugly. But because of the way they fight, even though these guys are really compact, strong guys, and you're right, I've been reading a lot about Timmy talking about trying to get this fifth title. You know, it's the second title, second weight division, but fifth title overall at 147 here. And then he wants to talk about going up to 154. He's a dense dude. And what these guys do is part of the reason why they don't hit hard is because they're never really punching you from proper range. You know, they're right on top of you. They're not turning their punches over. Timmy tends to slap a lot with his hooks. But, I mean, these are guys who really, like, totally distort your timing and mess up your whole rhythm. Part of Adrian Broner's a flashy fighter, but he's also a rhythm fighter. And he never, not once, did he get into rhythm during that fight against Sean Porter. And I agree with you, Ray. I think Jesse Vargas is a competent fighter, but I haven't seen anything in Vargas, outside of the 4-inch height advantage, outside of that, I haven't seen anything in Vargas that shows me he's ready to keep a guy like Tim Bradley off of him if Tim Bradley decides he wants to jump on him.
The height advantage would make a difference if Jesse Vargas had a little more of something else, a little more power, a little more speed, a little better timing than Tim Bradley. Even if he was a little tougher than Tim Bradley, maybe he could adjust. The thing is, Jesse Vargas has no advantage. And this time, I think paper really doesn't lie. Can Jesse Vargas do in the ring to Tim Bradley? Is he going to outclass him from the outside? No, he can't. Is he going to rough him up on the inside? I don't even think Jesse Vargas can hold him. I don't think he can even clinch
him. Wrap him up,
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. I honestly could see Timmy, I don't believe I'm saying this, I could see him stopping Jesse. And why do I say this? Timmy slaps to the head, but boy, does he dig into the body. He does not slap at all to the body. He throws bricks to the body. And I can see him breaking Jesse Vargas down, to be honest.
I see that too, absolutely.
And you know what, if you look at Jesse Vargas is a guy, again, I think he's a good kid, he's a competent pro, but let's just be honest, he's a guy who should probably have like two or three losses on his record. Fighting in Vegas, he's been gifted with a few beneficial decisions. And the fact of the matter is, in all of those fights, as the fight was coming to a close, Jesse Vargas was the guy retreating. So typically what he's been able to do is come out, he's a pretty busy fighter with a pretty sharp jab, and he'll come out and establish his jab and get his punches off. But then usually by the sixth round, even Antonio DeMarco, who we know came up for 130 at one time, even by the sixth round, all these guys are pushing him back, and he is fighting to survive till the 12th round. And this is against guys significantly inferior, not as big or as strong as Tim Bradley. So, again, he's a competent fighter, but he showed me nothing to this point to keep Bradley off of him.
And not only that, though, you know, I haven't seen Vargas actually get into a dog fight. I haven't seen Vargas get tested such as, of like, you know, come up off the floor, you know, or come like, you know, hurt and coming from behind type of thing. I mean, I haven't seen Vargas really have to, you know, bring his teeth out and, you know, and get down there. And Tim Bradley, we've seen him do this over and over again, such as, you know, he can go for broke at any given time. Bradley do not like the rules. That's one thing I can respect. I know no man do, but Bradley will fight his heart out before he beat that L. And that's something that, you know, you have to respect. So I agree with everyone else. I don't see Vargas doing something, you know, out of the blue and really pulling the fight out at all. And I don't even think if he can hurt, he can wrap him up. I just think that Tim Bradley's going to be a tad bit too much.
And Ray, the one thing you said was you've never seen Vargas sit down and go for broke and dig in and all that. And the fact of the matter is, because he's not going to. That's not who he is. When those situations have come, he's gotten on his bike. You know, it's just the fighter he is. You know, he's tended to try to run out the clock, so to speak, instead of do that.
Yeah.
He didn't do what you did against the Russian. Vargas does he does the opposite.
No.
So unless he shows something we've never seen, I don't see a victory for him.
And you know, that comes from me fighting guys that, you know, that was tough, such as the Sean Porter, such as the Brandon. I can't think of his name right now, but them tough guys, Sean Porter, Brad Solomon, all them guys. Me fighting them tough fights in my early career got me ready for, you know, me fighting that Russian. I knew for a fact that I can, you know, stand there and have to fight and pull out this win when I have to. You know, these guys sometimes get carried to where they are, you know, and
exactly.
And the thing is, you know, sometimes I look back and say, oh, I wish I was up there. And, you know, I'm right there. I'm really close. And I didn't get it the easy way. I didn't get handed nothing. No one handed me anything. I fought hard and I worked hard. And I accept my two losses. I picked myself up off of the canvas before and came back to get the win. So I already know what it takes to get hurt and stick my feet in the mud and show my Philly heart and put everything on the line. I'd rather, you know, get laid out on my back than just me running out the clock. It's just, man, Vargas is two different people. I'm not running out that clock. You know what I mean? I'm going for broke. I'm not running out that clock.
I'm still shooting threes.
It's a fight.
Hey, guys, we're joined by another Philadelphia fighter, a good friend of ours, a good friend of the program's, Mr. Eddie Chambers. Eddie, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Hey,
how are you?
Eddie?
Hey, what's going on,
hey,
man?
Hey, Eddie, how's it going, man?
Eddie,
I'm good.
We got,
hey, I want to say one thing just for a second. Hold on, because I'm about to run through the rain. Seriously. So I don't want to get my phone too wet. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Eddie, Dr. Christian on here today.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
Dr. Chris had to run through rain. So did Ray and now Eddie.
Yeah, everybody, we all up here dealing with it except you, Butch, down in Florida.
Yeah, but we'll get ours. You know, we're in the hurricane season, so yeah we're lucky. Whoa. There's going to be, I think, 11 this year.
I made it back.
Yeah, there you go. Eddie, your record was 41-4-0. Tremendous record, and you've got some. There's some people on here that are not. Oil cans to be played with. Of all the fights that you had, who do you think? Well, let me get back, step back a minute. First of all, welcome back to the United States. I know you were over in England fighting. And, had a pretty good deal over there, as I see.
Yeah.
How did that work out for you?
Oh, it was good. It was great. The UK fans are really, really supportive. And, you know, they're interested. They're not just. You know, I can't say they're not just casual fans. There's a lot of forces casual fans boxing, you know, everywhere. But there's a lot of educated boxing fans over there. They understand the sport a great deal, and they just want to see a good fight, whether you're from the UK or not. They just want to see quality boxing. So it was an enjoyable experience. The Fury team, awesome fellas, man. They had me over there. They treated me like a family member, not just another fighter. It was a great experience for me.
Nice. Great. A couple of the guys that you've had. Go ahead.
I was going to ask Eddie if he sparred with Fury. He said he was in his camp. Was he sparring with him?
Yeah, oh, yeah. When I sparred with Tyson, absolutely. Yeah, we sparred a lot. We did a lot of rounds together. It was, and then for me, it was just what I needed, you know, for a heavyweight. I mean, I'm not trying to say like I'm not working with those guys. So I'm definitely still working with them. They're very, very close guys to me. You know what I mean? Of course, maybe might not be any contracts or anything between us at this point, but that doesn't mean a thing. It just goes beyond boxing. But as far as your question about sparring with Tyson, it was first of all, it was extremely hard. It took me a while to get used to that level, even from a guy so big. Like you know, most guys that are big that you're gonna work with, that you know, have all that size and reach and all that good stuff, more are mummies, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are mobile, or you know, because I guess the bigger you are, the more you know, maybe your coordination takes a little bit of a hit. But with him, he still has the coordination of a small guy. It may not look like it because he looks a little different because of the way his body's you know, moves at times. But you could see with his you could see that he has the I don't know how to put it, maybe dexterity, the coordination of a much smaller guy. And his punch count is extremely high. I've never seen a big guy work that hard and still have that much left in the tank at the end. So, for me, it was a real, real learning experience. Even though I'm more of the pro, obviously, because I've been around for a lot longer. But it's a different thing working with somebody like that, and it's really helped me understand fighting solid people and solid fighters and that are athletic, not just tall guys with nothing. You know, not say nothing, but not just tall guys that are big and strong and long, but you know, because of, you know, their his size and athletic ability, it was a great experience for them.
Now, Eddie, I know you've had problems with injuries in the past and everything. How does your body feel at this moment?
Oh, I feel good. I feel rejuvenated. I think the problems with those injuries were me doing things slightly wrong. I mean, obviously, the bicep tendon issue was something as a freak accident. It comes from, you know, maybe slightly overworking it, but at the same time, it just, those things don't normally happen. You know, you can probably count on your hand, you know what I mean? Well, no, you probably a lot more cases than that, but as far as percentages are concerned, those things don't happen often. So, but, you know, like some say the rib injury, the back injury, those like things like that are probably a little bit of overuse. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't think I train hard, but believe me, I put myself to work, and that's why I'm able to go 12 rounds with the greatest of ease.
Hey, Eddie, at what weight were you at when you were sparring with Fury?
Well, actually, you know, shortly after I got over there, we had started a real crazy workout and diet regimen, which put on maybe 20, 25 pounds in a matter of a month. So it was, and it wasn't just, you know, flubber. You know what I mean? It wasn't none of that. It was the reason why it was so much weight, it was because it was so much muscle. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we were literally training three times a day, hard. Not three times a day to drug out for 3 or 4 hours. You know what I mean? That can be, you know, more harm than good in a sense that you're not really working that much. You know, you're in the gym all those hours, and you're probably going to take away from your rest, but you're not working as hard. Anybody knows who really, 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 you know, works like that knows that you can get more out of an hour and a half than you can get out in 4 hours, especially if you train at high intensity. You know, so that's what we were doing. And when I say high intensity, I'm talking about arms basically failing at the end of each workout, legs and all. Your body was at failure. It took me 3 months, 2.5 months, okay, to get to where my body was at least okay with it. You know what I mean? I was fighting 3 months, so I was like, you know, at the beginning of March, because I got there in January, the beginning of January. So beginning of March, I was just getting in a situation where I was rounding into shape enough to be able to spar properly, because my body was so in so much pain, you know, for the first couple months that I was there.
So when you say he looks very flexible, it surprised me, because I think he's clumsy looking and clumsy in the ring, and that's what surprised me when you said that.
Well,
that's why I asked you what weight you fought at.
Oh, well, oh, you mean me? Oh, you, you mean? Oh, you mean? Well, wait, I thought.
No,
I thought
I'm talking about Fury. He looks clumsy to me.
He
but
does,
I know big
did.
Guys when they get in the gym and they spar, they with the big gloves, they take a few more chances than they do with the smaller gloves. They like to pound you around, you know. And that's why I just said if you were giving up 50 pounds, you know, you'd have to move a lot on him.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to always be giving up weight to guys like that size. But I was still about 220, 225 when I was working with him at my best. If I was getting a little bit heavier, I would obviously, you know, not necessarily slow down with my hands, but slow down with my, you know, body movement would have been a little slower. And that happened. I got a little bit heavier than I needed to get, a little bit too much muscle, so we kind of cut it back some. But as far as Tyson, and when was the last fight, you know, to my man that was just speaking, when was the last fight that you seen him fight?
Chris, he's talking
to you. It's been a while. He doesn't fight that much.
What was the last fight?
I'd say over a year ago.
Nah, he's fought.
Eddie Chambers. I saw him fight Derek Chisora, and I got to say, it looked to me in that fight like you had more of an influence on him. I remember I called my co-host Zito, and I said, you know, Tyson Fury looked like a 6'9" poor man's Muhammad Ali fighting a poor man's Joe Frazier. Because I was really impressed with the way he peppered the jab, the way he punched and slid off on angles. I mean, he put on a showcase, and to be honest with you, it's funny because I remember when I followed Tyson when he first started his career. You could catch his fights on YouTube and the whole, uppercut himself in the face. You remember all that stuff back then. And I would see him progressing, you know what I mean? And a fight to me where he started to really kind of turn the corner was the Stevie Cunningham fight. That's where, I noticed, he was putting some things together. Stevie took advantage of one of his openings. But what I like that he did is he adjusted, and he realized that, you know what, I'm not going to outbox this guy, but I can impose my size on this guy and beat him. But then when I saw the Chisora fight, I was like, you know what? I said, because Tyson talks so much, and he's so big, everybody's been paying attention. But when I saw the Chisora fight, I said, people have forgotten that when this kid was, first busted on the scene, he was 23, 22 years old talking this stuff.
Yeah.
I said, he's really matured and progressed in these last 2 years. So now I'm looking at a Tyson Fury who, believe it or not, I think has a very, honestly, has the best chance of anyone of beating Vladimir. Honestly. I would have never said that 2-3 years
ago. I know. And that's what I'm listening to you, and you sound like me. And it's trying. And the thing is, people don't want to hear it. They're like, that's bull crap. But this dude's 6'9", legit 6'9". He's about 260, 270 pounds in shape. And I'm telling you, he can throw if he wants to. He can put together a hundred punch round. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying?
He can move on his feet the whole time, too.
And he can move. So a lot of people say, he looked funny. They really haven't seen him. Like, his best fights, in my opinion, were a fight. Now, I know a lot of people, I think the one he was mentioning was the Joey Abel fight. That was his first fight back. That was my first time there with him. And trust me, he was running 10 miles every Sunday. And that was after a week full of three-a-days and two switches, a week full of three-a-days from, I think, Monday to Thursday, and then two-a-days from Friday and Saturday, and then on Sunday ran 10 miles and still worked out after that. Because he had to drop about 40 pounds to make sure that he was in shape. And this dude was doing it. I'm talking about big. Yeah, I'm telling you, you should have seen his stomach. It was crazy. It was literally like a couple tires around his waist. But by the time he got, with all that weight, he was still moving. Stomach jiggling, back jiggling, all that crap jiggling, but he was still moving, still throwing two, three, four, five, six punch combinations. And I'm like, yo, what the hell is this? But it really
That's what
made
I would have said.
See, that's what I was saying. I was saying exactly what he's saying. And then when you seen him fight Joey Abel, a lot of the stuff he was doing, it was because, no disrespect, I think Joey, is a class dude, but at a certain level. He just wasn't on the same level. So he can go in there and he can kind of mess around and do some crazy stuff. But if you would have seen him fight, like Kevin Johnson, and my man was just speaking, he was just talking about the Derek Chisora fight. That's him.
Yeah.
That's him, I'm telling you. And with Peter Fury at the helm now, and the different things that they work on, and what we have all worked on and come together and talked about, and the thing that you said that was funny is that when you got there, I wasn't seeing a lot of these things in the past. And a lot of it is because iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean? It doesn't go any other way. Iron don't sharpen iron sharpens iron. So when you get in the ring with somebody like that is at your level, maybe even a step ahead or a step below, but just right there, you two can make each other better. You know what I mean? Me, Tyson, Huey, all of us was in there working, and that just made us all get better. I'm telling you, during the months of, say, May through July, maybe in September, I was so shocked. You could have put me in the ring with absolutely anybody, and it wouldn't even have looked like it was a contest, you know, obviously, except, you know, Tyson, maybe Vladimir, but you could have put me in the ring with anybody, and they would have had a problem. And not saying that it wouldn't be that way now, but obviously I gotta, you know, get my rhythm and everything back to 100%. But listen, I'm telling you, that camp right there, one of the better camps you're going to ever you will run into, and that's real talk.
Now, Eddie, you doing putting on the weight and everything. You mentioned that it slowed your feet up a bit, not the hand speed, but your feet. That being said, did it take a minute or two to get your relaxation back? I mean, because that changed the style a little bit, obviously. But
You know what? It kind of did a little bit, but when you had too much weight, and then too much weight wasn't on me like in the first 3 to 5 months. It was when I had first got back from my month off when I came back home, and that was from August to beginning of September. I was about 234 pounds, but it was a lot of muscle. Like, I even get pictures like on Instagram and stuff of when I was that big, but my legs and back were lumbering a little bit more. So the real idea was to get us down to, you know what I mean, it was about 15 stone 10, which is about 220 pounds, maybe a little lighter, right? So when we were in the process of doing it, it took me, man, I swear I had some bad days in there because of it. But once I got into that sweet spot for weight, I was able to move, and I still had the explosive power because of what we worked on, and also the punch count and the aggression that I needed to, you know, obviously dominate those level of guys. But, you know what I mean, it's still impressive regardless when you look at me being normally just on the back foot kind of guy, boxing, being able to turn into aggression and also move in different angles. And, you know, not saying that I can do the angle thing, that's easy work, but it's while I'm being aggressive too and landing the proper shot.
Well, I'm anxious to see Tyson Fury now. You got me all hyped up here.
Yeah, I'm the biggest endorser, right?
How much he pay you to say all that?
No, hey, man. I would have taken money to say it, but I'm saying it. Honestly, I'm being real with you. I haven't had that much difficulty sparring with anybody ever, except for maybe Klitschko. And it was like I couldn't believe. And this is the thing. I'm going to tell you honestly. We will bring guys in to camp, right? And this ain't stuff to, you know, give anything away. We will bring guys in, especially for Derek Jassora, right? And, Peter would be upset because Peter's one of those kind of guys. He's like, look, I want perfection, and I want this work right, so I want to get the best sparring. So he got some good guys, some real nice, talented guys in there. And Tyson, no disrespect to them, but they just couldn't really do anything with him. So he couldn't even spar with him that much. He had to spar with me still, and had to spar with Huey because we were used to it. But he was mad. Like, man, these guys, we did all this. And he was kind of mad. And I'm like, and I had to sit down and tell him, Peter, I don't care who you bring in here. You can bring Godzilla up in this thing, and they're going to have a hard time sparring with him because he's just that tough to fight. He's that big and can move. You can't find many guys that are going to be prepared for that coming in, especially the first day. So he pissed off, and then I'm like, watch with this fight. Watch Derek's fight. Everybody, all these people talking about is a 50-50 fight. I'm like, watch this fight. Watch what happens when he gets in the ring. It's going to be like a glorified sparring session. Tyson's going to be smacking around all night. He's going to be playing when he's having fun, and y'all going. And I guarantee you, you're going to be like, I ain't really going to be that easy. What happened?
When is Tyson Fury fighting? It's pretty soon, isn't it?
I think so. I think he's fighting. I think it's the Klitschko fight. I think they made it for. What is? I'm not 100% sure.
They hadn't made it, but then it got pushed back. But initially it was made for November. Then I think Vladimir got injured or something. And it got pushed back. So I don't think it's been set just yet again. But that's supposedly the next fight. It is. He is Vladimir's mandatory. And, again, in my opinion, he is the most legitimate threat at this day and age, right now, as we speak to Vladimir. Based on what I've seen over his last couple fights, Dr. Chris, this is a 6'9" guy who's pumping out the jab,
stepping off to the side, stepping back, using the full ring. And you know what? Vladimir is actually going to have a hard time getting close to this guy. And that's the thing people are going to have to realize.
You sound like me, man.
Vladimir hasn't looked good. He hasn't looked good his last couple of fights. He looked terrible in his last fight in this country. He looked awful.
Well, one thing,
if he fights that way, then Fury will have a chance.
And one thing I like about Tyson is he is a fighter. That Stevie Cunningham fight showed me a lot about him. To where he was, his plan A wasn't working at all. He got dropped hard, and he got up and he said, "You know what? I'm going to fight this guy. You know, I'm 6'9", but you know what? That doesn't even matter. I could be 5'2". I'm going to go get this guy." With that and with the skills, he's going to be a problem.
That's a formidable opponent,
man,
for anybody in the world.
Listen
to this, though. It's funny because that being said, you know, him getting dropped, and we always know Steve got a heart like a – sometimes it's too big, you know what I mean? And Steve made the mistake of continuously trying to do that, because he dropped him. Sometimes knocking somebody down is the worst thing in the world you can do because then you're going to rely on that one big shot because you know you can land it, right? Tyson, remember, he's 260 pounds, man. So when he starts deciding to lay that extra weight on you, you know, it's going to seem like you got to, you know, trust the pushing and the pressure and the weight. Trust me, like I said, I had many rounds in the gym with him. I know when he puts them hands up and walks you, I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, it's all because he's never going to be able – you can't completely get him off you. Because if you do get him to go back a little bit and you get that little bit of space that you might want and you think you want space – remember, he's 6'9", he still can hit you from there. You know what I'm saying?
What I like about Tyson, too, is Tyson will go to the body. And you don't see a lot – like Vladimir Redder will not go to the body. You don't see a lot of big guys do that. He actually, before he, you know, essentially grabbed Stevie and punched him in his face to knock him out – he crippled him with an uppercut to the body.
Little slick roughhouse moves and stuff.
Well, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. No, that's your move. That's your move for the young boy. You know what I mean? But when I'm again, man, it was the Chisora fight that to me where I was like, and you know, a lot of people were bad mouthing Chisora, but you know, again, so much goes into a fight that you can see things. And what I took away from it was, this is the number one threat to Vladimir. And no one says that. No one believes that because he talks so much. And everybody remembers his other fights where he looked clumsy and gangly. But the kids put it together. Last I saw him, he put it together. So I think he's a very credible fight for Vladimir.
I still think he needs some more fights before he sees Vladimir.
I mean, maybe. Not really. I mean, is he going to be any more sharp or prepare when he faces Vladimir later, or is this the perfect time to fight Vladimir, looking at Vladimir, 39 years old? He just had his 39th birthday this past year, I think.
Tyson has nothing to lose by fighting Vladimir now, because the worst you can do is lose the fight, and he'll always be marketable.
Yeah.
Tyson's still young, too. I mean, he has plenty of time to be champion.
28?
Yeah.
He's younger than Amir Khan. He's younger than Amir Khan.
I think he's 26. Maybe 27.
Yeah, he's younger than Amir Khan. He's younger than Ray Robinson, than the new Ray. That's a big kid, man.
Yeah, think about that. You know what I mean? It's like when I turned pro, I turned pro at 18 years old. You know what I mean? And it takes a little while, especially with a small heavyweight, to you know, get to a certain level, but you know what I mean? Even though I turned pro, I think he turned around the same time, maybe a year later, but he was on the fast track. His seventh fight, I think, was for the English title, or sixth fight was for the English title. So he's been in the talks of the top world fighters for, like, the last, 4 years. You know what I mean? And remember, he's only 26 years old. So that means he was 21, 22 at the time. It's a lot, man. It's a long time to be, you know, in that kind of conversation. And to be able to have that success against that kind of competition that early, that's what I'm saying. At this point, how much more experience does he need to fight somebody at that level? I think
the only experience he needs is the experience of Vladimir now.
Exactly.
That's essentially it. Yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
Now. Whether he wins or loses, that's going to be the ultimate experience measure for him now.
Right?
Eddie, what's the next thing for Eddie Chambers?
Me? Man, I'm just trying to get back into the picture right now, you know. a couple more fights. I got something possibly going to be scheduled sometime in maybe September. If that happens, which I'm sure it will, the next one's going to be maybe a little bit of a nice name, somebody that, you know, is recognizable. You know, if I have some success there, then we're maybe talking titles or eliminators opportunities after that. So, you know, it's just, I'm, you know, not slow, but it's not super fast either. You know what I mean? It's at the right place. I mean, the right pace, I'm sorry. So it's going to get me where I need to go.
Well, in just in case anybody's listening from ESPN, we have a soundbite here.
Spectrum Chambers, heavyweight contender. Man. You can't put that all man in there.
I saw a commercial like
why? Why treat you like Floyd Mayweather? Floyd Mayweather.
That's terrible. That's
he's gonna make transcripts on the internet. Oh, he's gonna put it on Facebook and Twitter. Oh my God,
I can't. Yeah. I'm terrible with this talking thing, man. I apologize.
I play that at least once a day.
I know, so you can get everybody to laugh at me. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's
not
what we
not
need.
Really? Nah, just. Having fun here, and you know it's always good to have you on. It's always good to talk to you and get some update. If we can help you out in any way, shape, or form, you have our number at all times. You can just give us a call, and we'll be glad to do whatever we can.
I appreciate it,
brother.
You know, I'm on anytime. I mean, that's why when I seen the number, I'm like, that looks so familiar. Maybe I should pick it up. No. Seriously, no. When I seen it, the phone was on vibrate. And I'm like, dang, and by the time I noticed it, there was a hang-up, and I was in the car. So you know what, I'm going to go ahead, run in the house, pop the phone on, and get it started. Because I figured that's what it was, and then boom.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
See? So I made sure I rushed home. You guys are important to me. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. We appreciate that. Well, Eddie, we appreciate everything you've done for us, and we appreciate you giving us the time. I know you're a very busy person, and we wish you all the luck in the world. You certainly have had a great run so far, and I'm sure it'll continue. And again, we want to thank you for being on with us tonight. Ray, we want to thank you for being on with us tonight and updating us on your situation. And how about giving us a plug for your gym?
Come down. You know, I own my gym at 885 East Street Road in Peterville, PA. Come down. First class is always free.
When are you normally there, man? What hours are you there?
Monday through Saturday.
You guys, you're not that far from him, Eddie.
Yeah, I was thinking me and Z to go check him out one day, man.
Yeah.
Eddie, come show me some love, man. Start treating me like a stepchild.
I'm gonna be up there. Hey, listen. My office I used to use I still use all the time is right down the street. I even heard about the gym, and I was like, damn, you know, I need to get up there. But I haven't even been to my accountant's office to see him, and he's like a family member to me, and so long. So I need to get up there. So when I do get an opportunity, when I get up there, I'm coming.
There you go.
All right, man. Sounds good, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Z and I are gonna come through and check you out one day, man. Definitely. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Hey, you both guys need to go down and check out Ty's new gym, too. Ty, you want to tell us about your gym again?
Yeah, we're Evolve Fitness Studio. We're on Kirkwood Highway, right behind the Panera Bread, Wilmington, Delaware.
There you go. All right. Chris? Chris, you want to lead us out tonight?
I believe Tyson Fury. Yeah, well, I want to say I believe what he said about Tyson Fury when I see it.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that guy that I saw fight Cunningham has come this far. I mean, I hope he has. I mean, I'm you know, wishing him the best. But I just can't imagine the turnaround. You know,
you got to get on YouTube, man.
I mean,
take a look at the
Seeing is believing. Seeing is believing.
I mean, his most dangerous punch was if he fell on you. You know?
Wow. Yeah, this guy's funny.
It was more, that was his most dangerous time. If the damn guy fell on you, that's the only way he was going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to see.
Yeah. That's still pretty dangerous, that part is, too. But I think he got more of an arsenal than just falling on somebody now. It's just a little bit.
All right, guys.
All right.
We'll end it with a laugh.
Chris. We'll see you
all
next
right.
week.
We'll see you guys next week.
All right.
All right.
Z, you want to lead us out?
Absolutely. This was one of the most fun times I had all week. I want to thank you guys, first of all, definitely. Thank you and your family, Butch. Thank you, Ty. I want to start off by thanking Joy Tiberi. Thank Eddie Chambers. Thank the new Ray Robinson. And thank Dr. Chris Always. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Ty?
Hey, we definitely thank Eddie Chambers, Dr. Chris, the new Ray Robinson, as well as Joey Tiberi. We hope all these guys get the deals and the fights that they deserve and keep going. And for those that think Philly fighters are just tough and gruff, they need to come talk to some of these guys. Bob is our co-pilot. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, simple thank you, a wink, just let them know that you know that you're there. It means a lot to all of us in uniform. These programs are brought to you. These programs are dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Bager, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Serber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township, PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, and Patrolman Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, and sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless.
Shemalek ma'yelama, shemahezahilma, sona shene voratfet hakuigegen ma'yelma. I'm prowess and strength and length of days.
The reason I cried.